Over this Christmas season and this holiday season, I have been spending time with the book that I mentioned before Christmas, Love Does, by Bob Goff. It's a series of reflections on life and faith by a man who is committed to living life as fully as he knows how and who is eager to encourage the rest of us to do the same. He remembers back to the events of 9/11. And as that day unfolded, he raced home to be with his family, not because he was fearful for them, but because he wanted his children to hear about that event from mom and dad, and then talk together about what it all meant. Together, they talked about the reality of good and evil in the world, and the belief that in the end, no matter how impossible it may seem at moments, good ultimately triumphs. Looking to pull the children into the conversation, he asked them a question. If you had 5 minutes in front of a group of world leaders, what would you ask them to help make sense of life, faith, hope, and the events unfolding around them? 7-year-old Adam, the youngest, went first. He would ask the world leaders, he said, if they wanted to come over to his house, a play date, if you will, a way to get to know them better. Perhaps getting them all together would help them understand each other better and lead them to become friends. Rich, next in line, said he would ask each of the world leaders what they hoped for. Perhaps if they knew what each other wanted, they would start hoping and working together. Lindsay, the eldest, took it a step further. If the world leaders weren't willing to come to her house for a visit, what if she and her brothers went to their homes to find out what they hoped for? And what if they did video interviews with each of those leaders so that they could share the video with all the other world leaders? And so perhaps discover that they were secretly hoping and wishing for many of the very same things. It was what happened next, though, that turned the exercise into a lasting life lesson. Mr. Goff had the children compile their ideas into a single letter and then mail it out to as many leaders of the world as they could figure out addresses for. Prime ministers, presidents, dictators, kings, queens, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. They rented a post office box just in case they got any replies. A week or two went by, then they started checking the post office box every day after school. Slowly, some replies started coming in, one or two a day at first, then dozens a day. They kept track of the replies by sticking pins in a globe to show which leaders had responded. Pretty soon, the globe looked like an acupuncture test kit with hundreds of pins stuck to it on every side. Most of the letters all said the same thing: thanks, but no thanks. Often with an eloquence that made the kids still feel good about their exercise, like one from Tony Blair that said, jolly good idea about meeting. Not too long after that, on a Tuesday afternoon, they continued their after-school routine of stopping by the post office, picking up the mail. The three kids piled back into the car, dividing a wad of letters among them in the back seat. There were the usual assortments of no. But then came one from the state house in Bulgaria. They opened the letter together and started reading. Then came a shriek, we've been invited to the palace. What made the news even more exciting, and I'm going to take this out of my ear because it's dropping all over the place. What made the news even more exciting was that Bob and his wife had promised the children that if they received a single yes, they would go. In the days that followed, other yeses arrived from the Prime Minister of Switzerland, from the President of Israel, from 26 other world leaders, inviting the children to come visit. Now, a promise is a promise, and so the Goths embarked on a world tour visiting all 29 leaders, much to the chagrin of the school officials, because it meant taking the children out of school for a lengthy period of time. And when one teacher wrote back that that was not a wise idea, Bob returned the letter with one word added to it: tough. Goff reports that the visits followed a very predictable pattern. The children were ushered into a very formal setting. Formal introductions followed that eventually began to grow more relaxed and comfortable as the leaders realized that these really were children with no hidden agenda, except for a desire to get to know them as a fellow human being. Soon the leaders would be talking about their own children and grandchildren, what the world was like when they were growing up, what kind of world they wanted for their children and grandchildren, what their dreams were for friendship and cooperation among nations. In one former communist country, the children were escorted down a long hallway past guards wearing very serious guns in holsters, ushered into a large reception room, and seated at a table that was at least 50 feet long. They could hear heavy steps coming their way down the hallway. Into the room arrived a brusque-looking man, who in his heavy accent said to them, "I am more nervous than if I were meeting President Bush today. And when I get nervous, I get hungry." And then he clapped his hands, and servants burst in from the sides with trays full of pastries and ice cream and all kinds of good things, and they had a party on the spot. As the party was winding down, the leader looked back at the children and said to them, When I was your age, my dad would pretend to lose his hat in the forest and send me to fetch. I was afraid that the bears would eat me. So I whistled, and he taught them to whistle the tune that he whistled in the woods. And then he ended with this promise to the children: "I promise I will never let the bears eat you." And he added one final remark: that you know what makes someone a friend? A friend doesn't just say things. A friend does. At the end of each of the 29 visits, the children brought out a gift to leave with the leader. It was a small box wrapped nicely, and each leader would in turn unwrap the box and look inside to find a single house key. It was the key to the Goff's home. And the children explained that now that they were friends, they wanted the leader to feel free to drop by any time. And only friends warrant getting someone else's house key. Sometime later, after returning home, the oldest child, Lindsay, opened up her email one day to find a message from one of those world leaders. "Dear Lindsay," it read, "we miss you and your brothers. Can we please use our key for a sleepover?" And they did. At the heart of Epiphany is the story that God has come not just to us who've heard the ancient prophecies and have dared to hope and believe, but that God has come for a sleepover with all the world, with persons who look and believe and act as we do, and persons who look and believe and act very differently. And so in looking at the stable, we see those who are gathered close by on the hillside outside of Bethlehem, but we also see strangers who traveled months, perhaps even years, to come to behold a new king. It doesn't mean that they bought into all that that king represented, but they knew something unique had happened and they wanted to see for themselves. And in the conflict that is hinted at and begins to become real in the next verses, the conflict between wisdom and power. The conflict between the Magi and Herod. Wisdom takes a different road. Wisdom always takes a different road. The children in that household decided not to play power politics, decided not to give in to the fear that power often generates, often intentionally, but to pursue a different path, a different course, a different road, to pursue wisdom and understanding and love and hope and the belief that the God who has come to us in the Christ child is a God who wants us simply to learn to live together, to pray together, to work together, to worship together. In a few moments, as we come to celebrate communion, to celebrate that same gift of a Christ, let us do so in that spirit, the spirit that led children to write crazy letters and powerful people to step aside and do something different. And for us as individuals and as a congregation, to begin this new year in a new way, dedicated to the path of wisdom and peace and love. Amen.